All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. Just going to read one verse out of this chapter here and give you a thought, Lord, get it put on our heart. We've been preaching through the book of Galatians, verse by verse or section by section. And just, I guess, with everything that's been kind of going on and rearranged, we've kind of just taken a little break from that. And we'll pick back up on that later. But want to give you a thought tonight, and have been kind of preaching on some thoughts that the Lord's been giving us in regards to the days that we're in. And I feel like this message tonight is right in line with that, just kind of going along with the things that we're facing in these days. I believe preaching is ought to always be or is always practical. If it's Bible preaching, it's always practical. It's always for us. And it'll help us and help us in our walk. And so I believe that the Lord has helped us with this. So I want to read you a verse out of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Very, I guess, common verse that most of us know here if we've been raised in church, been in church any length of time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, I want to preach to you for just a few moments on this thought of evil, how to avoid evil. Father, we come to your throne of grace. I want to thank you for being good to us and loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your word, giving us an opportunity to preach it. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we handle the word of God tonight. Help us, Lord, not to handle it deceitfully. But, Lord, I pray that everything that is said and done would bring you honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you'd set a watch over my lips. Lord, I not say anything that would grieve you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to deliver to your people that which you've given us in a way that'd be pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray that you would take this word and, Lord, drive it deep in our hearts that we might not sin against you. And help us, Lord, in these days, Lord, to avoid evil. And Lord, that we can stand for you in these last days. Bless us now in Christ's name. Amen. So he says to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, he's as a roaring lion walking about seeking for somebody to devour. And he says there, the first two words is be sober. Be sober. And what I want to do, by the way, I guess just kind of as a way of introduction, is kind of look at this verse here. And look at some principles in this specific verse, and then look at some just practical things on how to avoid evil. Because this verse lets us know that the devil is actively seeking. He says there, the first two words are be sober. Now, the sober, that word sober is defined, has many different definitions and many different meanings, carries many different thoughts, but just a few of them would be to be serious, or to be solemn, or to be grave. Now, that doesn't mean we can't have a good time. Doesn't mean that you know, we can't laugh and smile and be cheerful people. But God's people, I believe, ought to have a degree of seriousness about us, and some solemnness, some graveness about us. We've really gotten into our society as a whole has gotten too nonchalant and too casual. And I tell you, the church has gotten this way bad, real bad. The church has gotten too casual. And God, you know, folks that claim to God's people have gotten too casual. With all that is at stake, and with all that hangs in the balance in the world, with eternity in mind, buddy, we have gotten so casual about things. We come to church casually, and most churches even dress casual, come to church and just live a casual Christian life and just do everything so casually and so lighthearted. But man, eternity is still real, and hell is still real, and judgment's still real. We're still going to stand before God and give an account. The judgment's still coming. All the things that we've preached for all these years, they're still going to happen. And so one way that we can avoid evil is to have some soberness about us. Be have some graveness, some seriousness about us. That doesn't mean you have to have this gray cloud hanging over you all the time and be just, you know, kind of the, you know, the wet blanket on every party. But The fact is that we ought to have a degree of soberness about us. And I'm not preaching on this, but I am going to say it as I'm passing by. Talking about how to avoid evil. He says to be sober, first of all, be serious, be solemn, be grave. But in a physical sense, it would really help anybody to be sober in a physical sense. That is, stay as far away from alcohol and intoxicating beverages as you would a rattlesnake. It does not take much for you to not be sober anymore in terms of alcohol. And I'm not preaching that. Everybody pretty well knows where I stand there. But I do find it interesting, however, when you go to talking to somebody who is defending alcohol and alcoholic beverages, they always want to talk about how much they can drink and not be drunk. My question is, how much can you not be sober anymore? I mean, not be 100% sober. I'm not talking about sloppy drunk, but 100% sober, because the Bible has a lot to say about being sober, being serious, being grave, being in your right mind. And I tell you, it would do us well in this day with all that's out there and the devil seeking us and with all the snares and traps that he's got. We more than ever need to be in our right mind. Need to be thinking straight. Need to be thinking soberly, seriously, solemnly, gravely. We need to be sober. And so he says, be sober. And then he says, be vigilant. Vigilant means to be watchful or to be circumspect. Means to be attentive, to discover and avoid danger. Attentive, to discover and avoid danger, or to provide for safety. Be vigilant, be watching all the time. The second you take your eye off the devil and off the world, off the flesh, the second you think you've got a hold on this thing, that's when you're going to fall. He says, be sober, be vigilant. And then he talks about and describes the devil, describes our enemy and our adversary as a roaring lion walking about. That speaks of active pursuit. In other words, he's not sitting back just waiting for you and me to mess up. He's not waiting for us to be our own worst enemy. Now, we are a lot of times. I am my own worst enemy a lot of times. If I could get a hold of the man in the mirror, I'd be doing pretty good. You and me both, we battle with our flesh as much as we do anything else. And so, but he's not just waiting on that. He's not counting on that. He's not just counting on us to stumble on our own. No, he is actively pursuing. The world, the flesh, and the devil, there's active pursuit against you and me. And he is after us. He is not waiting on us. He's after us. And the Bible says he's seeking whom he may devour. That is, and you've heard me say this before, he is looking to totally and absolutely destroy. He's looking to devour. He's not looking to just slow us down a little bit. He's not looking just to slow you down a little bit. He's not looking just to get you off track a little bit. He is looking to totally destroy you. Now, he may get you off track a little bit as a means to totally destroy you. See, that's the way he works. That's how subtle he is. He'll tempt you with just a little bit of compromise and just a little bit of cutting of a cord. He'll tempt you with just a little bit of nonchalant attitude I was talking about. He'll tempt you with just a little bit of those things. But that little bit isn't enough for him. That's not what he wants. That's the way he slips his foot in the door. He slips his foot in the door with the temptation of, well, it's just a little bit. But that is not his goal. And that's not the end of what he wants. He wants to totally destroy. He wants there to be nothing left. He wants you to be completely devoured. You and your testimony and your home and your marriage and your ministry. Everything. He wants it to be totally and completely devoured where there's nothing left. That's what he wants. And he's walking about. He is actively pursuing that goal. Seeking somebody that he can devour. Somebody that he can totally devour and ruin and destroy.
And so that is our enemy. That is that's what we are looking to avoid. We need to avoid evil. That evil is out there. He's our adversary. He's looking to destroy us. And tonight we're talking about how to avoid that, because he's laying traps. He's laying traps. There's snares and there's traps out there. And there are ways, biblical ways, that we can avoid them. And they're just practical things, and I want to give them to you. Just a few of them tonight. And so, and by the way, let me just say, this is important, more important in this day. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more important these things get. Because the more the devil is going to turn the heat up on God's people the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. And he's more active today than he's ever been, seeking to destroy evil. First of all, don't stray. Don't stray. Psalms chapter 119 and verse number 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." You begin to stray when you neglect your prayer life. And you begin to stray whenever you neglect your Bible. Neglect your Bible reading. If the only time you pray and the only time you read your Bible, the only time you carry your Bible, open your Bible, is whenever you're in church, it is just a matter of time until you fall. It is a matter of time. Why? Because you've already started straying. You've already strayed. See, you start neglecting your prayer life, you fail to read the Word of God, you fail to walk with God on a daily basis. Next thing you know, you'll lack the courage to say no to the world. You'll lack the courage to say no to old friends. Because see, when we walk with God, get filled with His Spirit, we get filled with boldness. Get filled with boldness. And in the second we start to stray, the second we start to neglect our prayer life, the second we start to neglect our Bible, the second we start to neglect seeking God's face and the filling of the Holy Spirit, we start straying. We start lacking in boldness. And it takes boldness. It takes boldness to stand for God in this day. Boldness and courage. And you're not going to have any spiritual courage or spiritual boldness on your own. That's not something you can work up in the flesh. Amen? And you have got to have that. And when you start straying, you'll lose that boldness. You'll lose that courage. You'll lose that victory. You'll start walking in defeat. Before long, you'll be cutting corners. You won't be able to say no to the old friends anymore. You won't be able to say no to the world anymore. And what you are going to have to do is be diligent in your devotion. You and me, we're going to be diligent in our devotion. We're going to draw near to God daily. That's what Paul said. I die daily. Die to myself and die to my desires to be given over wholly to the will of God on a daily basis. And if we are going to avoid evil, it's going to take a bold stand against the devil. James chapter 4, verse number 7, he said, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God." That's our devotion right there. "Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Isn't it something how closely tied to standing against the devil and standing against evil, how closely that is tied to drawing nigh to God and Him drawing nigh to us. Boy, the two are just tied right there together. Only one verse, and the next verse is talking about the other thing. They're tied so close together. I tell you, it's important. And whenever we neglect our devotion life, when we neglect our prayer life, when we neglect the secret place and the prayer closet and the walking with God privately, when we neglect those things, we are straying and we are headed for a fall with the devil. How to avoid evil. First of all, don't stray. But then also, don't strut. Don't strut. Proverbs 16, verse 18. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Pride and a haughty spirit are two different things. That pride is in the heart. Pride is in the heart. It's on the inside. Haughty spirit's on the outside. Pride can be hidden down deep in our soul and nobody sees it. But the haughty spirits, that's on the outside. Everybody sees it. That haughty spirit, that's that proud look that God talked about as one of those things that He hated. One of those abominations that He hated was a proud look. That's that haughty spirit. Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. I tell you, some lack humility. They think they've got the bull by the horns. They think it'll never be them that falls. They think it'll never, they'll be the one that gets by on God. There's a lot that desire the praise of men instead of the approval of God. Matter of fact, that's what the Pharisees, that's what their problem was. That's what the Pharisees struggled with. They desired the praise of men more than they did the approval of God. In John 12, verse 42, Christ said, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him, but because the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." They were only concerned about what everybody else thought about them. Do you know that mentality, that attitude, that very attitude, it's wrecking a lot of Christians, no doubt about it, but it's sending a lot of folks to hell. A lot of folks are so concerned about what everybody thinks about them, and they're more worried about their reputation, what everybody's going to think if they get saved, and if, you know, after everybody supposedly thought they were saved all this time, and everybody thought they were right with God, and then they go forward to get saved, they're worried about what everybody's going to think, you know, and their reputation. Well, you know what their problem is? They're worried more about the praise of men than they are the praise of God. That's their problem. And there are certainly a lot of Christians too who they're worried about the same thing. They're worried, they've got pride in their heart, and they are worried about what men are going to think. I was thinking about really, you know, pride is the ultimate sin, but especially in these last days, man, as a whole seems to be so full of pride. And I was thinking about this whole self-love movement that I guess that's kind of going on, that's really promoted, you know, this self-love thing. And what will really help people, what will fix all their problems is for them, if we could just teach them and get them to love and accept themselves. What we need is self-love and self-acceptance, you know. Instead of, you know, like in the schools, instead of teaching kids that, you know, they're wicked sinners and they're lost without God and need to be saved and need a Savior, instead, what we need to do is we need to build their self-confidence, build their self-love, build, you know, because that'll fix all their problems. And that boy, they start them out from a young age, just, you know, ingrained, poured into them a sense of pride. What you need to do is be proud and love yourself and accept yourself and all those things. But my Bible tells me that we're accepted in the Beloved. We're not accepted of God on our own. We're accepted in Christ alone. And what we have to do is abandon ourselves and turn our backs on ourselves, side with God against ourselves if we want to be saved. By the way, you know, all this, you know, so-called depression, all this stuff that goes on, and they say it's because of, you know, self-love. People don't love and accept themselves, and that's why they're depressed, and that's why they all got all these problems. You know what all that is? All that is pride. The reason people are so depressed a lot of times is because of pride. It's because they just simply cannot stop thinking about themselves. People that are depressed, I mean, this isn't just me saying this. I mean, this is like, you know, they say folks that battle with clinical depression, psychiatrists or whoever they are, they say the majority of people that battle with clinical depression, the number one cause is because they simply cannot quit thinking about themselves. That's all they think about. All they think about is me. Me, me, me. Where I wish I was, who I wish I was, what I'm not, what I wish I had, what I don't have. And they look at everybody else's life, and they everybody else's life seems so great, and they sit there and they think, why is my life so terrible? It's just all about me all the time. Me, 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 me. And they get depressed. And but see, the world, they say, well, we got to get them to accept themselves, you know, and we've got to get them to love themselves. No, what we need to get folks to do is repent and turn against themselves, turn against their life, and to lose their identity and turn their life to Christ, put their faith in Christ, and abandon themselves. Not accept themselves, abandon themselves. Hey, I tell you, the day I got happy, the day I got filled with joy, the day I got filled with peace was the day I abandoned myself. Turned my life to Christ. Don't strut. Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. Hey, pride will lead you into evil. If you want to avoid evil, avoid pride. Avoiding pride is to avoid evil. See, Jesus is our example. And if there was really anybody, if there's ever been anybody that had the right to be filled with pride, it's Jesus Christ. I mean, He's God. He can do whatever He wants. But yet in John 8, verse 28, the Bible says, "Then Jesus said unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me. I speak these things, He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." In other words, Jesus gave all the credit to the Father. He said, "I do everything that the Father tells me to do. I do everything that pleases the Father." In other words, He had humility. What about whenever He took upon Himself the form of a servant? What about when He washed the disciples' feet? What about all those things that He did as a servant and as a humble servant filled with humility? He's our example. And I tell you this, nothing blinds like pride. Pride blinds people worse than anything in this world. You know the person you cannot help? The person you cannot help is the person that does not see that they need help. If somebody does not think they need help, you can't do anything with them. If they think they're all right, and if they're doing fine, oh yeah, their life may be in a mess, and they may wish things were different, but if they don't see that it's them, that they're the problem, see, that's where we're at. Now, everybody's life, folks' lives may be in a wreck, they may be in a mess, but it's always somebody else's fault, you know. It's always society, or the school system, or the president, or the church, or the preacher, or the wife, or the husband, or the kids, or whatever. It's always somebody else, or something else. It's always some outside circumstance is the reason why their life is the way it is. And until somebody sees themselves as the problem, there's nothing that can be done to help them. I mean, God, the Lord, He desires to save and desires to help and desires to bless, but we've got to be empty of pride first. Empty of pride. James 4:10, He said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." I'll tell you, if we get filled with pride, start thinking we're the ones doing this and thinking we don't need God and start neglecting God and His leadership, we're headed for a fall. We are headed for a fall. But if you want to avoid evil, avoid pride. So don't stray, and then don't strut, but then also don't stoop. Romans 12, verse 21, He said, "Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Now in our society, I don't have to tell you this, you already know, morals are at an all-time low, it seems. And you look around and it seems like morals have just hit rock bottom. And the second I think it can't get any worse, it seems like it gets worse, morally speaking. And so the question is, whenever we look around, the question is, how in the world can we overcome all this? I mean, as bad as things are and as immoral as it seems that people are, how can we overcome? How will we overcome? Well, I tell you, first of all, it's not going to be by stopping. And it's not going to be by cutting corners. It's not going to be by letting some things go here and there. And it's not going to be by compromising. It's not going to be by cutting deals with the world. That's what the direction a lot of folks are going. It's kind of like folks have got this, you know, if you can't beat them, join them attitude. And I'm talking about even the church now, even so-called saved people. Seems like, they've relaxed their standards in response to the moral decay of our society. Folks have got so bad that we've got to kind of lower our standard. We've got to stoop down to where they are, get a little closer where they are so that we can reach them. And I remember that's what happened back in the early 2000s and through the 90s whenever the contemporary movement started coming on the scene and that started getting more and more popular, and the seeker-friendly movement, they call it, started getting more and more popular, and you started seeing these, you know, youth pastors and praise team leaders and all that stuff started getting earrings and tattoos and growing their hair out, looking like a bunch of mop-top hoodlums, because what they said was, well, we gotta, you know, I'm doing this to reach the world. I'm getting my, you know, my earrings so I can reach, you know, guys that have earrings. And I'm getting my Jesus tattoo to reach the folks that's got tattoos. And I grow out my hair, you know, like a heathen and like a rebel reject. To reach folks that look like that. And so now everybody comes to church, looking homeless. And even the pastor, of most churches looks homeless now with, his flip-flops and tank top on, because we have stooped, our morals have stooped in an effort to reach the world. But that is a direct contradiction to the way the Bible says we're going to reach and overcome the world. Are you having trouble overcoming? Are you having trouble getting victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil? Are you having trouble with victory over evil? Well, are you stooping? Is that the problem? Are you stooping? Are you stooping down the world's level? Are you cutting some corners here and there and letting some things go in your life? Parents, are you letting some things go in your kids' lives? Are you letting some things go in your life? Because the second you start letting a few things go, the second you start cutting some corners and compromising, that's whenever you are going to fall to the devil and fall to evil. Hey, stooping to the world's level, morally speaking, is not the answer. That's not the way to overcome. That's not the way to overcome. That's not what he said. We just read in Romans 12. He said, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. See, this mentality of, stooping down and bringing our, standards and convictions down closer to the world to try to reach the world, what that is a trap. And that is a snare. That is one of the wiles of the devil that he is using to try to get us to get caught in his trap so that ultimately he can devour us. I mean, you just look at what all is going on in society today with this virus and with our economic situation and with everything that's going on. And you look at how little effect the church at large is having an effect on the world. I mean, at large. I'm not talking about all the, good fundamental Bible-believing churches. I'm talking about at large, the things that are viewed, what all is viewed as, Christianity, what's viewed as the church, it's having very little effect on people. Very little effect. And I tell you why. Because the church in America has stooped. Gone down into the mud hole with the world to try to reach the world. But we don't overcome evil by condoning it. We overcome evil, according to the Bible, we overcome evil with good. We overcome evil by doing what God says is good. You'll stay clean and you will avoid evil by doing what God says is good. In your Christian life, if you want to avoid evil and avoid a great fall, avoid being devoured by the devil, get in this Bible. Find out what God says is good for you to do. Find out the good ways that God says are to live. Find out the good things that God says are to think on. Find out the good things. Find out those things and do those things, and you'll avoid evil. You'll avoid being devoured. You'll avoid all of it. You'll stay clean. You'll avoid evil. So don't stray. Don't strut. Don't stoop. And then last of all, don't stop. Don't stop. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, there's a lot that I know, and I'm sure that you know too, that have started well. They started well some years ago. It seemed like they were on the right track. But somewhere along the way, they got stopped. Got stopped in their tracks. They hadn't finished well. One man said, Satan attracts, distracts, and attacks through subtlety. I tell you, he's got snares and traps out there, and he's trying to lure us away. He's trying to get us caught in evil, get caught in something. And he does that subtly. And he does that through trying to get us to stray just a little bit. Trying to get a little pride in our heart. Get us to strut a little bit. He does that by trying to get us to stoop a little bit and cut a few corners a little bit here and there. Just lighten up a little bit. I mean, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is dressing way worse than this, so this little thing won't be so bad. That's the way he tries to catch us. And ultimately what it is, he's trying to get us to stop. See, we can't stop. We've stood for so long. The church has stood for so long, and we've preached, this Bible. We stood with this Bible for so long. We've preached for so long. We lived a certain way for so long, and maybe some have slipped a little bit. But let me tell you, you can get back right tonight. You can get back where you need to be tonight. As soon as we start slipping, that's where we stopped. We've come too far to stop. If we've slipped a little bit, we need to get back where we were and get back where God wants us to be so that we can continue on and not stop. Because if we stop, we're going to be overcome with evil. And I tell you, as bad as things look, as rough as things look, nothing is too hard that God can't get us through. That God can't help us overcome. There's never been a time in 6,000 years of human history that there was too much evil in the world that the Lord could not give His people victory in it all. There's never been that time. And that time will never come. It'll never come. There'll never be a time where the world will be too evil that God's people can't overcome it. Never. But what we're going to do is avoid evil. And to avoid evil, we can't stop. We're going to have to keep moving forward. There's never been a mountain too high, a valley too low, or a river too wide where God's grace has not been sufficient. But you know, one of the worst things we could ever do is start loafing on God. Start backing up. Start slowing down. What about David? David went to loafing. Came time when kings go out to battle, and instead of being out to battle, he was at home loafing on God, and that's when he got in trouble. Billy Kelly used to talk about how, they say that statement, idle hands are a devil's workshop, and he'd say, well, that's not Bible. There's a lot of wisdom in those words. And there are a lot of wisdom. By the way, that's what makes these days kind of dangerous in that sense. I mean, God can really work in these days and really work in these times where we've kind of slowed down and things have shut down and there's less to do and less to distract us. But I'll tell you this, we get idle and we're not actively pursuing God with the time that we've got, we'll fall to evil. Evil will get a hold. The devil will use that idleness in our lives, that ease and Zion. He'll use it and he'll overcome us. I'll read these verses to you and I'm done. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is, there is nothing that the devil can throw at us that cannot be overcome through Christ if we'll avoid evil. If we'll do what He tells us to do. That's what all these things are. All these things are just simple Bible principles on how to avoid evil. And if we'll do these things, we will avoid evil and we'll avoid a great fall in our life. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. I want to thank You for helping us with the Word. Lord, I pray that You would take it and use it. Lord, I pray that You would help us all to avoid evil and to draw close to You, draw nigh to You in these days. I pray that You would help us tonight. Pray, Lord, You'd hide Your Word in our hearts that we might not sin against You. And all that's done, we'll give You the praise, honor, and glory for it. For it's in the lovely and precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.